Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read once again our gospel lesson for today, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, wise ones took oil in their flask with their lamps. When the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep.
In the middle of the night, there was
a shout.
Here's the groom. Come out to meet him.
Then all the virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. The wise ones answered, no, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell oil, buy some for yourselves.
When he had gone
to buy some, the groom arrived, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins
Truly, I tell you, I don't know you.
Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. Over 20 years ago, a person who attended church twice a year at best said to me, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And around that same time, a pastor was preaching at a funeral of a man who apparently never came to church or rarely came to church, said to those who were listening, in order to probably comfort them, going to church never saved anyone. In both cases, unfortunately, they were justifying or legitimizing not going to church. Now, there is some truth in what they say. Just being in a building that is called a church doesn't make one a Christian. If that were the case, I had a cat who visited church during worship services sometimes, and I suppose you could say the cat was a Christian. Also, we believe that it is faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified, risen, ascended, coming again to judge. Faith in him that saves. Faith alone in him that saves. So walking into a church doesn't mean you have such faith. You know, hypocrites exist and maybe even abound. A good example of the truth contained in what they said is the thief on the cross. He went to heaven, even though, as far as we know, he didn't go to worship services, at least for a long time. But how would we respond to these claims that contain some truth? Going to church never saved anyone. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. What is missing in their statements and in their understanding? Well, look at it this way. What if I told you, you don't have to come to church to be saved, just believe. And so on the next Sunday, nobody showed up. And the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, nobody came. It was empty. I think we would admit that something is very wrong with this picture. There is something about coming to church that is important, and we would even say essential. especially when a church does things as it should. Maybe not perfectly, but the essentials are there. Now, we've talked about this before, and have done so in these strange and peculiar and trying times, being careful not to say too much and not to say too little. And I will do so again today. We do take very seriously, obviously, Hebrews 10:25, that says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And what is really significant about that particular verse are the words that immediately follow that also confirm the message of Jesus here in our text of the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing so, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So he is telling us to gather together because of that last day when Christ the Lord and groom comes. This tells us that it is important and necessary to come together as Christians, especially as we anticipate the final coming of Christ when he will judge the living and the dead. So why do we come here? Why do we gather here? And the simple answer is oil. Oil for our lamps. And this means we are to understand how God operates in saving us. He saves people by giving to them true faith in Jesus Christ, the crucified, the risen, the ascended. For in him and in him alone there is forgiveness, there is life, there is salvation. And those who have such saving faith are his. They are his bride. And how does he give them and sustain within them such true saving faith? How? He brings them to true saving faith and sustains them in that true saving faith through his word that is proclaimed and through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And then the question is, well, where do we find the word proclaimed? Where do we find the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper? Where and how does God use them and administer them? God administers his word and sacraments through what we call the office of the ministry. And if you get a chance, you can turn, not now, but at some point, turn your hymnary to page 9, and you'll see there the statement in the Augsburg Confession that says precisely this: through the office of the ministry. Now, can God do so, and does he do so elsewhere, outside of the office of the ministry? Well, yeah, yes, he does. But we are talking about what God has specifically established and what he normally uses to accomplish the distribution of his word and sacraments. Now, the interesting thing is that you are the ones who have told me in Pastor Yaglogy that this is what we are to do. When you called me and subsequently Pastor Yaglogy, you issued to us a divine call that God himself recognized as his call. And here's how it reads. In extending this call to you, Pastor Thompson, Pastor Yaglogy, we solemnly charge you to preach the gospel of our Lord among us in its truth and purity, to administer the sacraments in accordance with the inspired word of God, and the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. In other words, you have told us to administer oil. And the oil simply is the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, won by Christ, and now contained in and put in and placed in his word and the sacraments. Now, these are called mysteries. For the grace within the word and the sacraments are hidden from our eyes, from our senses. And St. Paul says of himself and of all public ministers, a person should think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and managers or stewards of the mysteries of God. In this regard, it is required that managers be found faithful. And so this is how God works, to bring people and sustain people in the true saving faith. And just as we need food for our physical life, so we need word and sacraments to sustain our spiritual life. And because God is so gracious and does not want us to wander about not knowing where to find and receive his grace, he says, you know, here's where I am, people. Here's where I come to you. I have promised to be here in this word. I have promised to be here in that water. I have promised to be in that bread and wine. So when your mother or your wife or whoever is doing the cooking says, food is ready, we know where to go. We go to the dinner table. We don't go to our closet. We don't go to the garage. We don't go to our bedroom. We go to the room where we know the food is and where that person is who has prepared it and is serving it. Now, of course, there are exceptions. Person is sick, the food can be brought to the bedroom. But we're talking about exceptions here. But under normal conditions, where do we go? We go to the dinner table. The same with the offering and distributing of the word in the sacrament. But there are, of course, exceptions there too, aren't there? When a member can't get out and about anymore, when he is hospitalized, or when he is in prison, or when she or she has no way to get to church, when there is a pandemic, and one has to decide whether it is wise for her sake or for the sake of her neighbor to enter into this church building. These can be difficult decisions. And so we always need to give each other a lot of grace. And when one cannot come to church here, then the pastor comes to you, or you watch and listen online, or you read the sermon mailed to you, or you read your Bible and a devotional that you have at home, which is something you should be doing daily anyway. But again, we are distinguishing here between what God normally does, the way he normally operates, and those ways, those times which we could classify as exceptions. Making sure, though, that the exceptions in our hearts and minds do not come to be viewed as normal. And then, of course, we pray like crazy that COVID-19 would be lifted from us. But focusing now on the normal, again, we come here to church because God has said the oil you need to keep your lamps burning, the spiritual food you need, the free forgiveness of sins that you need to maintain your spiritual life. It is the word and the sacrament. And that word and the sacrament are being served to you through the office of the ministry. We do not come to church merely because we want to do something. We do not come to church to impress the pastor or our parents or our spouse. We do not come to church merely to show God how much we love him and believe in him. We do not even come to church mainly because we want to praise God. But that is what we do still, of course, and we should do. We come to church first and foremost because of what God gives us. The oil he gives to us to keep our lamps burning, to keep our faith alive. He gives us his grace and forgiveness freely in his word and sacrament. You come not to show, not to do, not to perform, not to work. You come here to receive. It's out there beyond these doors where you can do and perform and work for God and your neighbor. I want to speak to a specific group among us. I want to speak to those who are confirmed through young adulthood and unmarried, and who consider themselves, as far as I can tell, to be members. I did a count. We have about 25 in that category of about ages 14 to early 30s. And of those 25, 10 are regularly found here in person. Another 5 are off at college, but are regularly attending church where they are, although 2 of them have recently come home now for the foreseeable future due to COVID-19. Several are here occasionally and attend services online, and I know some of them attend regularly online. Think about what this means. It just really struck me. It means that 19 out of 25 are possibly attending church in person or online quite regularly. 19 out of 25. I mean, that is really good. I mean, it could be better, but it's really good. And so, well done. But all of you young adults will still have a choice ahead of you in the coming years. You may choose to continue to come to church, or you may not. And now there is a time when a person should stop coming to a church. If a pastor teaches falsely and you can't get rid of him, or if a pastor is living in sin and will not repent and you can't get rid of him, then I encourage not only our young people, but also all of you to stop attending such a church. But during these years of young adulthood, many choose not to come anymore. They stop attending. And many never return. And no matter what reason they come up with, they are saying by their actions that they do not need what is offered in church. Again, I'm talking about a church that, where the word of God is taught correctly and the sacraments are correctly administered. For whatever reason, receiving this grace is not important to them, but it needs to be. It's not as if they have become less sinful and no longer need God's grace in Christ, that oil that keeps faith burning. And this, of course, applies to all of us. You are not only a sinner today who is saved by faith alone in Christ, but you will be a sinner tomorrow and the next year and the next. You will never outgrow your need for the oil of forgiveness in Christ. that Christ won for you so you can maintain and grow in your faith. So resist the temptation to quit coming to church or hearing the Word of God, because that temptation will come. And for the rest of us, especially parents, we need to understand that we have an extremely important responsibility toward the younger generation of our church. We have to tell them, at least by our example, how important it is to receive that oil that keeps our lamps lit. And whether it be in person or online, we just have to encourage that. Even if the online is, hopefully, God willing, only a temporary thing. But Jesus himself here today is encouraging us to be wise and not foolish virgins. The foolish, those who have no time or need for the grace of God found in word and sacrament. On the last day, they will be there standing outside pleading, "Master, Master, open for us." But Christ will reply, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." But to the wise, those who see their daily need for forgiveness and know that that forgiveness is found freely in Christ, in the good news of the gospel, you will be welcomed into the banquet of eternal life. Amen. Please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.